There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You're listening to Drive Live with Tim Elliott and Natalie Lindo-Taylor. Right now, we're turning our attention to all things technology-based.
Drive Live talks technology.
And we're joined in the studio today. The Wanderer returns. Nick Rago is back.
I prefer Globetrotter.
Oh, well. Wanderer, Stray, he's returned.
Thank you.
Nick Rago from Tech Radar is back
from his
many travels. I mean, you know, we could use this whole segment talking about Thailand, New York.
We could. I have a lot to say.
Oh, surprise.
We have noticed that. But look, welcome back. You had this your first time in Thailand.
Yes.
And you, I'm guessing you liked it.
I loved it. It was beautiful. I was with my friend Natasha, and we were one of those obnoxious people that you see on Instagram that basically posts all these photos from the poolside, or, you know, having a sticky rice, mango rice every day for dessert, and just being spoiled rotten.
Okay,
it's a struggle.
It is. The struggle is real.
Let's move on from that. And I'm glad you had a good holiday, and you're very welcome back. And good to know. So you'll be back there soon. What is yesterday on my timeline, on my Twitter feed yesterday? Because somebody tagged me in something. I have, and I'm just trying to count here very quickly. 57, and I'm not joking. Actually, sorry, 59. Different messages to do with digestive biscuits.
Yes.
Well, what's that?
Okay, I don't want to talk too much about food because it is Ramadan and I'm aware people are fasting. But I have to say, it was National Biscuit Day yesterday or something, all right?
Okay.
And essentially, I put out a thing that says, I think digestive biscuits are not a good biscuit. They are just like the lower end of biscuits.
Here's what you said. They're literally made of sand and the insides of abandoned IKEA cabinets.
Yes. To quote myself, yes.
I've just found that. 57 was a lie, by the way. It's around about 100 different tech messages.
And the thing is, I didn't realize the kind of digestive worms that I was opening with this tweet. Because, I mean, to be fair, my initial tweet was, unpopular opinions, the biscuit edition. Let's go, you know, go to town. And I said, you know, I didn't understand the fascination with the Lotus biscuit. People were going crazy with these biscuits. They're making them into ice cream and desserts and sprinkling them over their sundaes. Mm. Spinneys stocks them as a cheesecake base. You can get pre-crumbled Lotus biscuits to make a cheesecake out of them. And I said, okay, I don't understand the hype about Lotus biscuits, but at the same time, I don't understand, you know, why people are calling digestive biscuits biscuits, because they are not biscuits. They are just ground up sawdust and IKEA cabinets pounded into a biscuit shape.
It's amazing what Twitter goes into overdrive for, isn't it?
Because
it
really did yesterday. Respectfully have to disagree on that one, Nick.
Yeah, we both are, and there are different reasons, but we should probably get past this because it is Ramadan and we are fasting. Many people are fasting, and I suppose we've got other things to get to.
Yes. Do you want to start, Nick, to tell us about your gadget of the week, or do you want to come back to that?
I think we'll come back to that one, because I want you to weigh in on it as well. You've got some opinions on
it. Okay, we'll start then with rubbish Kickstarter then. How do we feel about that?
Quite rubbish.
Okay.
Yes.
Rubbish Kickstarters.
So, Nick, tell us about the rubbish Kickstarter this week. I had a look at it online, and I have to say, I thought it looked quite nice.
Okay.
Lots of people here, they maybe think, well, the air, I'd like my air to be a bit cleaner, a bit purer. And this, you know, this rubbish Kickstarter could be the answer.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. You could be backing the rubbish Kickstarter that's literally trying to sell you bottled oxygen. So this is, you know, not as bad as that. But this is essentially an air purifier. And what they're saying is it's the most amazing, smart and natural air purifier.
Yeah, okay. So look, let's just set the scene here. So this is an air purifier. This is something that will monitor the air. And why do they have this? Here's the, are they creators? I'm not sure. The manufacturers. The designers, the R&D team. Here's the reason why they're making it.
The quality of our air is influenced by the places we live in. Breathing healthy air and staying in contact with nature makes us feel better, happier, more productive, and live better. But unfortunately, we spend almost 90% of our time indoors, and even if we don't realize it, indoor air can be really polluted.
See, that's compelling, isn't it?
Indoor air can be really polluted.
Indoor air isn't what you think the indoor air should be.
Okay.
And we live very often here in an environment which is air-conditioned, particularly at the moment. If you don't get your air conditioning cleaned regularly, have a look at the microbes that are growing in there. It's worth doing. And once you've had it done, there is a fresher environment. It's true. I had it done.
No, well, genuinely, I'm all for, you know, people taking care of the air quality and making sure that, you know, people buy air purifiers and humidifiers and things like that in this country because they want sort of the best level of air quality in their homes. But when you look at these guys, the way they're actually pitching it is, okay, it's a great air purifier, stylish, everything, you know, looks like it works. But what it is, it's essentially a massive plant pot with a plant in it, an actual, like, regular plant sitting in it. Yeah. And what the system does is it draws air downwards through the soil, and the plant apparently magically purifies the air through its roots, and then the machine will send the air out through the base. And that is what their air purifier is. It's literally a fan under a plant pot.
And are we calling it Nati? Do we think that's how you say it?
No, I
practiced this before coming, and I've completely forgotten it now.
It's Natada.
Yes, thank you.
So here's your second clip. This is why Natada is the answer.
But how can we improve the quality of the air and live better? With Natede. Clary's new product. It's been created to bring healthy fresh air and be the most beautiful design object you will ever have.
On the market right now, there are only ugly and traditional air purifiers that work with expensive filters that have to be replaced often. So the intuition was to use nature.
There you go.
So Nick says, why not get a plant and put a fan underneath it yourself?
Legit, you would get the same result, okay?
No, I'm going to beg to differ on this because their R&D is beyond reproach and they have invented a new, listen to this and tell me what you think this is. See if you can pronounce this, actually. There is a new process invented which makes this special.
Natede is extremely up-to-date, elegant and beautiful. Obviously, we made it eco-friendly and recyclable with an astonishing new biomaterial. R&D goes on. We are working with the best laboratories and universities in Europe. We also added a new incredible filtration process, photocatalysis. Natede is now able to eliminate VOCs, bacteria, virus, fine particulate and odors. And remember, there are no filters to change, and it's the only product that creates fresh new air.
So I listened to that a few times.
Photocatalysis?
I think it was photocatalysis.
Obviously, we all know what photocatalysis means.
It's a new process.
Well, here they say is photocatalysis. It was a process that zaps all kinds of nasty air pollutions and turns them into harmless substances instead.
You can't just make up words for.
I don't know. I mean, catalysis is a word, and photo indicates light. So I guess they put them together and form the word.
Catalytic conversion. Yeah. Anybody or variations thereof?
How much money would you spend on it, Tim?
Right. Yeah. This is what I want to know. How much would you spend on this plant pot?
I wouldn't. It just looks ridiculous. I don't know. Is it $100? What are they charging? I didn't even look
at euros, so it's in euros. So try and do a bit of math.
They've got to be charging a couple of hundred euros, are they? I would guess.
So, okay. So for the whatever it's called.
Natede.
I'm not doing this with you, NLT. Right.
Natede.
They are saying that if you order now, you can get one for €145. But the original price is €299.
So €300
for a plant pot.
What's that?
1,500 dirham.
Yeah, 1,250 dirhams. Okay.
Well, let's go to the funding, all right? They were looking for... What's funny is they're going to charge you in euro, but their funding is in dollars. Okay, besides the point. They were looking for 57,600 and something. So about $58,000 to make it happen, to make their magical plant pot. They have raised, all right? They have 48 hours to go to finish this goal. How much do you think they've raised? Do you think they've met the goal? Have they gone a little bit over?
I think they've exceeded it because people love eco anything.
They are eating this up. They have given them, all right, 3,495 eco warriors have given them 800,897.
Wow.
Who are these people?
That is unreal.
People with really dirty air in their homes.
Well, people with a lot of money, clearly.
People that need to dust more.
I am absolutely, you know, bewildered by this plant pot.
good luck to the Noteda guys. Best of luck.
We could do a Kickstarter on just how to pronounce their name. Can we just do that?
Yeah.
I will pledge $1.
I think we'll do well.
To get a personalized MP3 of how to pronounce their name.
Just say Noteda.
Netede.
Well done. See,
well
we've
done.
Got it.
Okay. See, it's like
I want
me
my
and,
dollar back now.
It's like me and Huawei. We'll get there in the end. And we've got lots of questions for you, and Nick. We've got lots of topics to get to, but I think we're going to go straight to the phone. I think we have Anish on the line. Hi, Anish.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. What's your question for Nick?
I'm looking for a home theater system in the range of, say, 6,000-7,000 dirhams. So, any recommendations?
Yeah, Anish, that's a pretty decent budget to be working with. Do you want something that is like a 5-point surround, 7-point surround sound, or something that's just like a soundbar and simple front-facing? What kind of arrangement do you have? I mean, given that you have to keep in mind what kind of space you're setting this up in.
I'm looking for a 5-point, home theater system.
Okay. Well, definitely, I would recommend some of the... I don't have the models with me, but I know you've texted in, so I'll text you some of the models back. But Harman Kardon definitely have a few models that will fit that budget. I think Bose had one which was not necessarily 5-point surrounds. It's more like a soundbar with subwoofer, but there was an additional 2.1 setup that you could do at the back. So it was a little bit, out of the ordinary, but it does sound really, really well that they have as a demo on their showroom as well. So those, I think, honestly, we two brands that you could look at. JBL for the longest time used to have some really good pieces, but I think now in the market they're not focusing too much on home theaters. But definitely Harman Kardon and Bose would be the two that I think you should approach for that budget.
All right. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Nick.
No worries. Thanks a lot for calling.
Anish.
That's a good budget, you know.
It is a good budget.
Dirhams. I was surprised.
You can get
there.
Something good, definitely.
How good are soundbars, Nick? Really?
Well, I live in a studio apartment. I've got a Samsung, a very much entry-level soundbar with a wireless subwoofer. And for me, that is perfect because I don't need something that's going to be massively loud, but I want something that gives me that sort of immersive experience when watching something from the TV. Mm. Now, another friend of mine has a separate sort of TV room play area that he's got. And he's got a similar to you, NLT, he's got a Sonos soundbar, and just a soundbar on its own sounds amazing. Mm. And NLT, you were saying you've got a similar setup because you guys have not just a soundbar, but you've also got speakers at the back to give you that sort of surround sound effect as
well.
Yeah,
they're sort of at the side of the sofa. So if I'm watching TV or a film and there's an explosion, I jump off my seat a little bit.
Which is good, that immersive experience there. But yeah, even soundbars, I think back in the day were just very, very, average quality. But I think now manufacturers, I did see one from LG a few months ago where when you turn on, the tweeters actually come up out of the soundbar.
Oh.
And they just look so good. And coupled with the wireless subwoofer, they sound so, so good.
Mm. Amazing.
Really, really futuristic.
We have a similar question, actually. Abhishek has texted in and asks you, Nick, what is the best soundbar available in the market? He sort of followed that up with a best value for money. So, I mean, I guess it depends how much you want to spend.
Yeah, it depends on what you want to spend. Like, for example, the soundbar that I got from Samsung, I think I spent about 600, 700 dirhams for it. So not a lot of money for the audio quality that I get from it. And it is Bluetooth compatible, so I can just connect my phone or any other devices to it via Bluetooth or via auxiliary cable. But if you want to look for something with it, sort of value for money, stick with either LG or Samsung because they make soundbars that are specifically designed for pairing with your smart TV. So you can literally turn on TV and the audio goes directly to your soundbar. If you are maybe in the up to 2K range, look at some of the models available from both Bose and Sonos. I don't know what the current pricing is, but just drop by the showroom and see what they have there. That's something also you could look at. And going back to Samsung, they had some of the more expensive soundbars that would start about 3,000 dirhams as well. So it really depends on your budget. But I think, this is just based on my personal experience and because I own one. Samsung for me has some very good models that are both affordable and offer good audio quality.
Okay, let's look at some of our topics today, Nick. Talk to me about a platform, this Qualcomm, to support virtual reality devices. So, some of the things that we've tested before, you need to use your mobile phone.
Yes.
Or you need a laptop plugged into the television or something else. So this is a way that you could maybe use it without needing any of those devices.
Yeah, so what Qualcomm is doing is there is a sort of a slew of VR devices coming to the market this year, which will basically support a VR experience without using a phone or a PC. And, while these devices are fairly good, they're not as powerful enough to provide a very comfortable VR experience. So you will notice a few frame rate drops. You'll notice a bit of lag when you turn your head. So that's only down to the fact that the processor powering these devices aren't optimized for VR. So what Qualcomm is doing is they're launching the XR1 platform with a new set of standalone VR and AR headsets. And these new headsets will basically give you a much more smoother VR experience. So you can essentially put one of these headsets on, pair them with a compatible controller, and have a proper VR experience without the necessity of like pairing your smartphone or plugging into a console or a PC, and essentially have a much more accessible VR experience.
Let me ask you this, and I've been sitting here thinking about this for the last few minutes.
Okay.
And I've worked out that I'm okay with this, but we've had a few texts in about this. Papua New Guinea is going to ban Facebook for a month.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, why?
Okay.
Second, I think you could do it. NLT, could you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. You could do it, Nick?
I could do it. The only reason I'm on Facebook really is to run our Facebook brand pages. So on my own personal Facebook, I don't post as that much. I really don't.
Okay. Well, I could do it. And that's fine. But why are Papua New Guinea going to ban Facebook?
Yeah. So basically what the government of Papua New Guinea is saying is that there are a lot of people who are posting false information and kind of dodgy material on Facebook. And, you know, even though only about 10% of the people in the country have internet access, the government is basically saying that it's not a healthy service. It's not really providing any benefit to the country. So what they want to do is they want to block it for, or they want to ban it for a month while they evaluate the impact of Facebook on the country and how they can go ahead and purge some of the fake accounts and some of the malicious material that people are posting on it before they will open it up to the public again.
So Amos texted in and said, I could do without Facebook for a month. I've done it several times. Actually, Twitter is better.
Yeah, I love Twitter. I mean, I left Facebook, I think, somewhere in 2014 or a little earlier for about 2 years. And then I came back on it to manage all of our company stuff. So I have done it before. I don't depend on Facebook that much. So I could potentially quit it if I wanted to.
Well, you're like the Twitterati, though, aren't you?
But Twitter is a little bit Twitter's a little bit difficult because I've met some really good people on Twitter, and it's for me, it's how I get a lot of my sort of breaking headlines. And I can like, for example, this happened to me when I was in New York last week. I got an Amber Alert on my phone. Which is something that, you know, happens quite often in the US, where it's something that's very important. Basically, the telecom providers will send out an alert and it pops up on your phone. Mm. And the Amber Alert basically said, check local media news, and it didn't give you any more information. So I went on Twitter and I searched for Amber Alert, and people were saying, yeah, I received an Amber Alert on my phone. It's related to a child gone missing in so-and-so area, and that's what people are trying to get information on. So for me, Twitter is the way that I can get a lot of information on. So I prefer Twitter over any other social media.
And it's really becoming like an early warning system.
It is. I mean, to be fair, to that regard, you have to be able to separate fact from fiction on any of these social platforms. So, you know, when you see something on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you have to, you know, take it at face value and try and decide whether or not this is, okay, this is genuinely something that is happening, or it's just kind of a bot or somebody making stuff up.
Yeah, I think there was the zombie warning in Florida last week.
Yeah.
Just very briefly, Nick, you can now use Samsung Pay or Apple Pay to top up your NOL card as well.
Yeah, so what the RTA has done is they've upgraded a variety of machines at various Dubai metro stations where you can basically tap to pay with either Samsung Pay or Apple Pay, which is very, very cool. I mean, these kind of payments have been in effect for a good couple of months now, and people are using them at point of sale terminals. So it's just, you know, makes sense for the RTA to offer this for people who want to upgrade their NOL cards as well. So it is a very good initiative from the RTA.
Nick Rago is here from Tech Radar.
Hello.
And he's been away.
I have.
He's been away.
But
he's
I'm back.
To New York. He is back. But you were doing something interesting in New York. You were at
shopping.
An Acer event.
Oh, well, yes, that. Yeah.
Yeah. Amongst many, many,
amongst many,
many
things.
Other
yes.
things. Tell us more. What did you see?
I saw. Oh, you mean the Acer thing. Right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So what's cool about this is basically this is Acer's way of kind of trotting out all of their beautiful products for the rest of the year and saying, okay, this is what we're focusing on. This is what we, you know, found the market needs and things like that. And there was a huge focus on Chromebooks and gaming. Now, gaming is something that Acer has only recently, I think in the past 4 or 5 years, they've gotten into. And their Predator line is something that they're really pushing a lot of marketing, a lot of spend behind, because they've realized that, you know, there is money to be made in the gaming segment, that people like their products, people want to know more about, you know, what their gaming products can bring to the table. So what they did announce was the Nitro 50 series of desktops, where they want people to have an affordable gaming experience. So you won't necessarily see these, you know, 1080 graphics cards. You won't see massive amounts of RAM and processing power, but you see something that'll give you a decent gaming experience for a decent price tag. And that's kind of where Acer is banking a lot of its money. They also had, for the hardcore gamers, you had examples like the Predator Helios 500. It's a top-tier Intel i9 gaming laptop with all the bells and whistles. They also announced, I forget the model number here, but it's the Predator Helios 300. Get this, it comes in white and gold. It's very sleek, very nice one. So I think definitely it's going to appeal to our market. We love things that are coated in gold. So this is one thing that I think when it comes to the Middle East, that people are going to love. They also announced a new 2-in-1 Chromebook and also a Chromebook tablet called the Chromebook Tab 10. So anyone who's not familiar with Chrome OS, it's basically it's the Google OS where you can run it on specific laptops and on certain tablets, hook it up to your Wi-Fi, and you have a full suite of Google applications. You have access to the Google Store. You can download apps on your tablets or your Chromebooks. And it's a very robust way to kind of use your systems rather than going for a full-fledged laptop. So it was a very, very cool event. A lot of really nice things coming to from Acer that we're going to see in the months to come. And definitely, there is a huge focus on gaming, and the company is, they are going to be putting out some really cool things. So we have to wait and see when they're going to be coming out to our region.
When it comes to Chromebooks, people using them? Because it's a very stripped down Windows,
yes,
isn't it? Kind of.
In a way, yeah. And you for the best sort of most effective way to use them, you want to make sure you're within range of a Wi-Fi hotspot to get all your files, because everything is online. But I think for the educational sector, this is where Acer is making its big bucks, because they were presenting a case study, I think, to a school in New Orleans, where they basically kitted out teachers and students with Chromebooks. And it was perfect because they were durable, they were cost effective. Students could, use them and then hand them back at the end of the year. So they are very, very good in that regard. And that's kind of where Acer is making the biggest waves, Chromebooks for education. It's kind of where the money is.
And one more question. Just one man's affordable is another man's expensive. So when you say affordable gaming,
yes,
what is that definition? Where is affordable?
So some of the sort of high-end gaming laptops will set you back about $2,400.
And what?
$2,400. Because that is
You're looking at $9,000 or $10,000 for a decent...
Yeah, that is kind of what you want to be spending for a gaming laptop, because you want something that's powerful but portable. Mm. And that's what gamers are willing to spend. Now, if you want something more sort of affordable than that, then you're looking at something about $1,200, $1,300, or close to the $1,000 mark. Because people that want to buy gaming laptops aren't shy of spending a lot of money on them. And, you may not believe it, NLT, but that's kind of what people are willing to pay for gaming hardware.
Wow. Okay. This week's gadget of the week, Nick, is Snapchat spectacles.
Yes.
What color did you go for?
I got the blue ones here. They're beautiful.
I got the red ones.
Yes. And I ran into you at the Snapchat offices as you were leaving. How did you get on with yours?
I liked them. Yes. I really did like them. It made me use Snapchat more than I had done for a while. Initially, I was a bit unsure how to get the pictures onto my phone.
Yeah.
But it took them no problem.
Yes.
And I had Tim having a go with them and filming me. I filmed him filming me as well, I think, at one point, which is quite confusing.
That really confused me.
But I like them. The thing that I like about them is when you put them on, unlike the original version of them, you could get away with just wearing glasses.
Yes.
They look like
regular sunglasses. Yeah.
And if you were, say, at a concert, this is the thing that I noticed. If you were at a concert and there was something awesome happening on stage, it's just one button at the side.
Yeah.
And it's not interrupting your viewing. You've not got a camera phone.
Yeah, you're not blocking anyone else's view.
And that's what I quite liked about it. Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. The beauty of this, I took on my trip to Thailand, and I could leave my phone in my hotel room, go down to the beach, go swimming, because these are water resistant now, go have a quick paddle in the pool, take a couple of photos, come back to my room, and then see what I captured, filter through the things I wanted to post, and just post them straight away, which is, I think, a really great way, because you then completely forget about taking your phone out for anything. You could literally just capture stuff wherever you want. And what Snapchat have basically said, one of the things in my review, as I said, was slightly annoying, is that the glasses only work with Snapchat, so you can only post things that you capture on Snapchat. If you try and export it, you get things in kind of like a fisheye bubbly view, so you can't put them on Instagram or send them on WhatsApp. But Snapchat have confirmed they're actually beta testing a feature where when you export something from Snapchat, you can choose the kind of export type. So you can choose a kind of frame, or you can choose to export it without this kind of bubble look. So you can actually be able to post it on Instagram, on Facebook, or any other platform if you like.
Hisham's just texted and said, NLT on Snapchat, get out of here.
I know.
I don't know how old Hisham thinks I am or how technically incapable, but...
Well, both of the above. I mean, you can tell, really.
Yeah. I'll take both of those, neither as a compliment.
Yes, yeah. But Colin, they were very good. They were good.
Colin's asking one thing quickly, and this is a difficult one because I think the budget is restrictive, but yeah. Touchscreen laptop, around about 2,000 dirhams.
So I think the only two you should be looking at would be something from HP and possibly Lenovo. I'll try and figure out some specific models, but if you stop by Plugins or Sharaf DG, I know they definitely have some models that are touchscreen, but you're going to be looking at like an i3 or i5 processor, very basic specifications for that kind of budget.
Okay, that's all we've got time for on Drive Live Talks Tech. What? Lovely to have you back there, Nick.
Lovely to be back temporarily. I'm not here next week, sadly, so you'll get a bass in again, but I hope to be back on the airwaves very soon.
Globe-trotting Nick Rago from Tech Radar. Thank you very much for
this guys.
Week.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.